Eoch tanuyap, kuige iwans kuyens na. Hi everybody, my name is Kuige Iwans. I'm a member of the Squamish Nation and the Yagalanis clan of the Haida Nation. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. We live, work, play, and broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
This is Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio, broadcasting from the unceded traditional and ancestral territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. CFRO, 100.5 FM in Vancouver, and live online at cooperadio.org. Tonight, we are speaking with La Bikerie Co-op, Greater Moncton's Community Bicycle Center. We'll be right back.
One of the big things that we've seen, especially over the last few years, was that realization that community and human connection is one of the crucial things that keeps us feeling good about life. And if there's anything that we've learned, you know, over the pandemic, over the lockdowns, is that you can't ignore the desire that people have to do something together. That's a fundamental part of what bonds us in community, is common interest, common goals, and common achievement of those goals together. That when we work together on something, it feels good. Would we look at that and say, hey, yeah, we did this? That's rewarding, it's validating, and it makes us want to stay invested in our communities and in each other.
That was Corey Herc from the board of directors of La Bikerie, Greater Moncton's Community Bicycle Center, now celebrating their 10-year anniversary. I'm your host, Robin Puga. In this episode of Each for All, I sit down with Corey to profile this unique nonprofit bicycle co-op, building and empowering a community through its many partners in Moncton, New Brunswick. We have profiled several bike cooperatives over the years on Each for All. However, this is the first nonprofit bilingual community-driven bike shop. In this interview, we'll hear how this co-op got started with a small group of dedicated cyclists and how they partnered with their city and other organizations to host a variety of cycling services. Those include bike maintenance, a bike rental fleet, bike storage, and an inexpensive build-a-bike program. The dedicated staff and board are seeing some amazing return on their social investment, and Corey was thrilled to share the story of their success. Here's our interview. Have a listen. Thanks for joining us, Corey.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
I wanted to hear about this organization because it is another bike cooperative, a bike servicing cooperative, but seems to have so much more involved in just being a bike shop. Can you tell us a little bit about La Bikerie and its services?
Yeah, absolutely. So La Bikerie is a member-based bike co-op. It's located on the riverfront here in Moncton, New Brunswick, in Signict and Mi'kma'ki. It's been around for a little over 10 years now. We're happy to have celebrated our 10-year anniversary last year, which is really exciting. The core offering at La Bikerie is, it started off when a group of us had moved back to Moncton after living in some bigger cities. And we had gotten really comfortable with the bike co-ops in all of those cities. So we wanted to replicate something here that could facilitate access to cycling in a low barrier, low cost way for anybody who lives in Greater Moncton. And Greater Moncton is a tri-city municipality. So when I say Greater Moncton, that refers to Moncton, Dieppe, and Riverview, each of which is their own municipal entity, but form a little bit of a regional municipality. And we serve all of those residents. And our mission fundamentally with regards to where we are is to make it easy for people to choose cycling as a way to get around. And we want that to be easy in terms of access, in terms of cost, and in terms of some of the social barriers or what it's perceived knowledge barriers or communities of belonging. So to that end, our core offering is we have a shop. It's on the riverfront, and that shop allows people to access tools, supplies, parts, as well as used bikes at a very, very low cost or free if needed, and to try to make that offering as widely available within our community as we can.
Very cool. And is Moncton a big cycling community?
It's a lot bigger than when we opened up.
Moncton
itself is one of three cities in New Brunswick. New Brunswick, as many of you might know, is not a huge province. You know, the population of New Brunswick as an entire province is smaller than just Ottawa as a city. And so Moncton had, in Greater Moncton, has about 100 and some thousand people. I think the last population count was about 130, 140 maybe. And it sprawls quite a bit. We are built on the edge of a salt marsh. The land is sprawling and fairly flat. And so Moncton, in addition to its geography, was also a transport hub for a long time. It was a major rail transit hub. Its location within 3 hours drive of most major cities in Atlantic Canada meant that it was a lot of a place for transit and logistics industries to pass things through. So it was very car centric. There are a lot of big wide roads that lead you to a lot of places. And a big part of when I say that our mission was to help people choose cycling as a way to get around. What we mean by that is that cycling is a viable way to move, not just in dense urban cores, but through places that are willing to put in that time, that infrastructure, that social support to make it easy for people to access and maintain their bikes too. So Moncton, I'm not going to say that it's a cycling hub that you might see, you know, in Copenhagen, but we're doing a lot of work to make that more possible. And we have seen huge uptake. LeBikerie's membership surpassed 1,000 people. Many of those are regular active cyclists. And for several years, we've been doing winter cycling workshops to help people choose it to get around. And if you've ever been to New Brunswick in the winter, you know that the winters can be pretty demanding on a cyclist, but those workshops are incredibly well attended and a reliable offering year over year. So we're seeing a real groundswell in it compared to years ago when we moved here. It's really exciting to be a part of that.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned 1,000 members. Is this a consumer cooperative? How is it structured?
Yeah, so we're a small nonprofit. We're largely funded through partnerships and grants.
Yeah.
And when we were deciding what our model would be, we were looking at ways initially to make that point of access low cost, but high return on social investment. So we're a member co-op. And when somebody comes into LeBikerie for the first time, they're given the opportunity to become a lifetime member. That lifetime membership is $5. We do have opportunities to waive that fee if somebody doesn't have access to that $5, if they're coming in because they need very, very low cost, low barrier resources. We have some ways to make that happen as well. But that $5 membership gets you in as a member of LeBikerie. And that lifetime membership is your conventional co-op things. You're able to make nominations, to run for board, to vote at the AGM. But we wanted to make sure that lifetime membership came with a sense of agency also. So it's a lot of access-based perks in terms of membership events. Our AGMs are community parties a lot of the time. We do a lot of rides, offerings for skills development, participation, social events for our members. And that membership structure was really what we wanted to cultivate, was that when people become a member, they say, yeah, I'm a part of this. I have a sense of ownership over this. And it's a collective ownership. It's a collective responsibility to do good and to be good to each other. Our staffing is largely grant funded. So we're not a workers co-op in the sense that much of our funding for staffing comes through summer student hiring grants. A lot of our shop is staffed by people during the on-operating season. And then we have a year-round executive director who's really our one core staff. So a workers co-op with one person being a part of the co-op wasn't totally the model going into it. But I think there's some interesting things there in terms of the long run. But functionally, long story short, members co-op with 1,000 plus people who have come in and said, yeah, this is something I'm willing to stand behind.
Yeah, that's cool. And I noticed on your website as well, you have a few different programs that you offer, recycling a bike, bike lockers, bike tours. How does that fit into the rest of the organization?
Totally. So our core offering is the shop. And once you're a member, you have access to the shop and you can buy, you can buy parts there. There are different rates of access to the shop that we can get in. And that was what kept us open for the first several years. It was mostly volunteers, summer staff, and that notion that if you have a bike that needs a new chain or if you need to get some spare tires, you want to rerun your cables, you can come in and we can help make that happen. But after a few years, you know, it becomes very clear that building culture is not a single lane. You know, there are a lot of divergent paths to take into that. And we're talking about building bike culture of envisioning this healthy, active, and clean community where cycling connectivity was a big part of it. We started looking around and saying, okay, what are the other things? Now that we have that baseline of access to refurbished bikes locked in here, we have maintenance. We started looking at some of the ways that we could build those out. And so the three big ones that we have on the go, Recycle-A-Bike is kind of our anchor because it builds off that shop space. And that's a way that if somebody comes in and they need a bike, and whether it's a question of means, whether it's a question of time, whether it's a question of desire to reinvest in community, there's not a lot that we're worried about in terms of criteria, but the Recycle-A-Bike lets you come in and build sweat equity instead of cash for your bike. So you can come in and do some work helping repair other bikes that then we can resell to help keep ourselves afloat, whether that's helping out in the shop or whether that's finding other ways to contribute. It allows you to build that investment as a member and receive a bike as a thank you. And so we do a lot of this work with students, with newcomers, with individuals who need that affordability barrier brought down for them in a big way. And sometimes with people who just want to come in and sling a wrench for a little bit and say, you know, there's better ways to do this. Let's go. And that Recycle-A-Bike is kind of one of our core offerings. And when most people think of us in the community, that's the one that comes up most often. I think that's the one that's really built our social offering. But we've also looked around at some of the other needs, and bike lockers are one of the ones that emerged out of that. And so that's a partnership that we have with the local business and with the city of Moncton, is that we offer low cost lockups for bikes. And so those could be weatherproofing, theft proofing, just a sense of personal agency, somewhere to leave your backpack and your cycling kit if you're riding in from out of town. But we have a program for those that allow people to access these secure lockups at a very low cost basis throughout the year. And then we also have a bike rental fleet, and that bike rental fleet was something that we wanted to offer to make sure that folks, you know, maybe you don't want to spend, you know, some money to buy a full mountain bike. Maybe you're only in Moncton for a week, but we still want people to be able to choose that. And so that was something that let us get a baseline of financial sustainability over the long haul too, to help make sure that we're not just grant funded, and to offer low cost, high flexibility rentals so we can do hourly, half days, days. And that started to build out into programming. So one of the programs that we have, for example, was with a local watershed group to offer eco tours of the riverfront that we're on. We've done some partnerships with the university and some just recreational touring for individuals who want to pick up some bike packing skills, who are interested in taking a little overnighter out of town, but might not be ready to jump over the spandex barrier, you know, and get into some of the higher end cycling gear can feel psychologically intimidating, and fundamentally making sure that those offerings for bike touring can feel like a little bit of an everybody can join, everybody can take part. And so our rental fleet, something that we're actually hoping to build out a little bit more to build some accessibility angles on that as well. Looking at e-bikes, looking at different styles of bikes. Right now, we just have simple cruisers. We want something that was low learning curve. Everyone's seen an old cruiser style bike that have been around for the last century. But we're interested in building those out because e-bikes can be a huge, huge accessibility mitigator too. And we'd love to find ways that we can do that. And some of the other things, we actually have a partnership with CNIB. We have a tandem bike that is available so that clients at the CNIB can go out with somebody who can offer as kind of a visual guide steering the bike while they get out for a ride. So these partnerships have taken a lot of different ways, but a lot of when we talk about bike tours is not, you know, come pay $2,000 and we'll go take you on a 3-day tour of all, you know, all the local vineyards kind of thing. It's more of a, how do we get people to experience the things that you might otherwise never experience and to be able to choose to say yes to that again?
So, I mean, you're really speaking to this differentiation of La Bikerie compared to a lot of bike shops out there in the world. And even bike cooperatives that we've talked to before on Each for All, it really seems that the thrust here, the whole reason for being is around this social inclusion, this connection with your community and community building.
Yeah. One of the big things that we've seen, especially over the last few years, was that realization that community and human connection is one of the crucial things that keeps us feeling good about life. And if there's anything that we've learned, you know, over the pandemic, over the lockdowns, is that you can't ignore the desire that people have to do something together. That's a fundamental part of what bonds us in community, is common interest, common goals, and common achievement of those goals together. That when we work together on something, it feels good. Would we look at that and say, hey, yeah, we did this? That's rewarding. It's validating. And it makes us want to stay invested in our communities and in each other. And so this started when a few of us had all moved back to Moncton around the same time. I moved back here in 2011 and had linked up with a couple of other people who were having those same conversations after living in bigger cities, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Toronto, all cities where even though they might be bigger, they might have a lot more transit, you know, from the other ways. They all had something that let people choose cycling a little more easily. And a lot of those were bike co-ops or community bike shops. Whether they're actual cooperatives or not is kind of beside the point, but those community scale street level access points. And so I connected with a few people already having those conversations. Joanna, Guy, Chrissy, and Amanda initially came up in that way. And as we started talking more and more about that, we looked around and said, well, we can do it here. Why couldn't we do this here? At the time that I moved back, vacancy rates are exceptionally high in Moncton. There was a lot of empty real estate that we could have looked at. And so we decided that a cooperative was the right way to do it, not just, you know, in name, that a lot of bike co-ops might not necessarily have incorporation as a co-op. But we said that structure of belonging is critical. That belonging to something and saying, yes, this is a thing that I care about, not just a thing that I do. It feels good. So we wanted to make sure our corporate structure by incorporating as a co-op matched that social inclusion goal, that we said, if the resources that support me are here, then I feel like I belong. And we want to say, well, let's make that for everybody then. We want anybody who takes part to be able to capture that experience of, this is a thing that serves you and makes it easy for you to choose to be here. So that's when we started. And we wanted something that was bilingual. Moncton is very bilingual. Moi, je parle français aussi. Alors, nous avons choisi La Bikerie Cooperative, Cooperative La Bikerie. Because we wanted a name that felt good in both English and French. We wanted a name that could go easily through our incredibly bilingual community. And we spent quite a long time talking to our peers to make sure that we were just imposing, you know, this, we all just moved back home after some time in the big city, and here's what we're going to do. And so we spent a long time building those partnerships. And that's the thing that came up over and over, was partnerships and relationships make action happen. Cooperatives are about going further together. And that really cemented it. And I think over the last 10 years, you know, over the multiple strategic plans we've done over that time, over the many executive directors we've had over that time, partnership development and community engagement just keep coming up over and over and over, that if we're going to keep this going, you know, alone we go fast, together we go far, and we want to go far. Well, I'm really that worried about going fast.
Well, that's why we ride bikes, right?
Right.
So this must have taken a fair amount of effort and coordination from your initial gatherings and discussions. A lot of sweat equity, I'm guessing, went into this.
Tons. Yeah. Our board was incredibly operational for those first few years. And we had a lot of desire to do that. You know, when looking at our initial board, we had so many different angles of community building skills represented. We had folks who were involved in, you know, rural municipal politics. We had folks who were educators, folks who are community developers. We were incredibly blessed to have somebody who worked actually for the cooperative enterprise capital of New Brunswick on our board at the time, who knew the ins and outs of getting a co-op itself off the ground. But our board was slugging it out. You know, we were there with grease on our hands when the shop was open. We had gone through several changes of paint stained flows, getting the shop set up, painting the walls, outfitting all the place. And so our board was really deeply, deeply boots on the ground. And volunteer engagement was our biggest way to get going before we even had full-time staff. We had our board, you know, constantly in their inbox, sending out volunteer coordination messages, opening up the shop, bringing people in for those, you know, 2 days a week that we were open in the beginning. Wow. The sweat equity runs pretty deep. In my case, I had a trajectory coming into it where I was volunteering quite a bit with the bike co-op in Guelph, Ontario, where I was living before I came back to Moncton. So for me, that operational involvement felt really good, especially after volunteering quite a bit, turning a wrench, and then later on actually going back to Guelph to do a bike mechanic certification. That's a partnership between the Winterbourne Institute and Conestoga College. So for me, that sweat equity was where I wanted to be, bridging that space between working with my hands and developing my community of relationships just hit all the right notes. But since then, we have proudly moved ourselves into more of a conventional governance board. Our board is not in the shop getting our hands dirty every single week, even though a lot of our board members volunteer or bike or get engaged in other ways. We've done a really good job of reinforcing it with some really, really high quality skills in our executive director, with some of the consulting team that supports us, with our volunteers and with our shop staff that we hire every summer. But that sweat equity was there. I think if you were to tally up the amount of volunteer hours that got contributed to Bikery just in its first year, you'd be well into the thousand.
Wild. And you did mention earlier, grants play a big factor in some of your funding here. So what kind of grants, and like for what purposes, and how does that kind of dovetail with trying to have a profitable business?
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing, as a co-op, we are also incorporated as a nonprofit. We're not a for-profit co-op, so we're not as worried about profitability. We are worried about making sure that we could stay on mandate. So our initial partnership with the City of Moncton is something that we're incredibly fortunate to have, is our relationship with the City of Moncton let us access things. Both through their conventional grant streams, through their major multi-year funding agreements that they have, and those are open to, community serving agencies throughout the area on an annual basis. We tap into that through the standard channel, but we've also worked a little bit with them as far as space. And there's a fire hall on the riverfront. That's a municipally owned building. It hasn't been a fire hall for an incredibly long time. It's mostly used for municipal ops now. So if you go in the summer, it's pickup trucks, six-wheeler gators, and a lot of the folks who maintain the riverfront operate out of there. We're able to operate out of that as well. So we have a really, really great agreement with the city that lets us access this absolutely phenomenal space with shop flooring and big windows, which is a tough combo to find. It's bright, it's well-maintained. There are year-round occupancy through the municipal operations folks as well. So even when we're not there, we're not worried about leaving the place totally empty. And that partnership with the city was what really let us anchor something and to take that first hit of mission delivery and say, okay, are we creating a conditions for people in Greater Moncton to choose cycling as a way to get around? Yes. All right, let's go. And then from there, we received some other funding. There is a provincially administered grant called the ETF, the Environmental Trust Funds, that we access regularly, and that helps anchor a lot of things like our Recycle a Bike program. That's a grant that requires you to do something a little different every year, so they don't fund recurring programming. So that's a big part of our expansion, has usually been driven by the needs of the provincial funder that says, what else can you do? And we're saying, well, that's an endless list when you're a little bike co-op in a growing city. And then we've received some other support. We have some in-kind partnerships. We have incredibly strong relationships with our local bike shops, which has been a real treat. And we've benefited a little bit from some of the community service recovery funds as well, some of the COVID recovery funding that was out there. Because those placemaking needs, those poverty reduction and cost mitigation things that we offer by helping people get around in a city that really sprawls, a lot of our members talk about the way that social inclusion isn't just about belonging to something, but being able to participate in your city as well, being able to move yourself easily to work, to leisure, to joy, or just to the places that you need to be. And where Moncton, as a transit hub, and as New Brunswick, as a lot of people know, it's a very historically blue collar, very historically working class province. And in a city that sprawls, that's growing very, very rapidly, and that has a lot of working people, being able to get around is a really critical part of it. Buses play a role. We love collaborating on multimodal transport. We have a really good relationship with the transit authority here. But bikes play a role for that too. And so that's one of the big things that we found, especially over the lockdowns. And especially now as we're going into, some big shifts globally, economically, climatically, all of these different factors. We're saying it is, bikes aren't a silver bullet. We're not going to solve every single problem in the world by saying, here's two wheels. They're not for everybody, but they can make a big dent. And so we've been able to access some funding through partners and organizations like that. And then a few of our basic ops, the tours, the bike locker rental, and refurbishing and reselling bikes affordably. You know, they're not a business model that's going to carry anyone into the multi-millions, but they keep the doors open. They keep the lights on, and they keep our executive director, engaged and moving forward, which is really what we're looking to get is, as a mission driven organization, it always comes back to how do we fulfill that mission in a way that keeps us going, keeps our community going.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the potential to have big impact here in your community is there. And, from what you were saying, connecting with, people who, you know, are economically challenged, with newcomer communities. There's a lot of impact, it sounds like, LaBikery is making here.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we see over and over again, is people who have nothing to do with cycling looking to us and saying, you know, we'd like to partner because there's something there. It's a tool that enables people to move other things like forward in their lives. And that's really it, is when you look at these different intersections, you know, we collaborate with newcomers agencies, we collaborate with youth drop-in centers, with high schools, we collaborate with different municipalities, in addition to the obvious things like waste reduction, environmental agencies, and tourism work. There's a lot of question of who else can get involved. And it's something that we see, especially with a lot of the newcomer agencies in town who we work with. We say there's a huge overlap of people who move to Moncton and say, how can I get around? How can I learn, you know, what's in my community? And especially in the summer when cycling season in New Brunswick is good. You know, it's not as joyful out there to ride a bike in February sometimes. We're seeing a lot of different overlaps with a lot of different communities that make up our city and saying, okay, well, how else can we play? How else can we move this forward? How can we empower, you know, our community to make other choices that are pro-social and good in their lives too?
And so for others who are interested in starting a similar organization in their communities, what would be your insights here, pearls of wisdom to share with those who are just getting started?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the big one, you know, is we take it back when I said that alone you can go fast, but together you go much further. It's a little slower to do that, but to take your time, that the slow route is often the one that gets you there. And we've had parables and fairy tales and stories that with that same moral for our entire lives, that's not new news. But that finding that balance between the bias to action, the saying, well, let's just get out there and do it now, is really, really exciting. But we really took our time. We made sure that we had a solid governance structure, that we could communicate our mission, that our mission and vision were really, really something that our community wanted to believe in. They weren't just something that we believed in, but that we built a system that could enable us eventually to transition out as board members and just become regular role members of the Bikery and know that the community would still hold that mission, that its governance structure was solid, that our partners saw themselves reflected in a long time. And I think that's a really important part for a community co-op that's made of a membership that lives in that community. Is that we could have had the best idea in the world, but if we didn't make sure that our neighbors and that our community members and those who were becoming our neighbors, you know, in those years even, if we didn't make sure they wanted to hold it, then our succession when our board mandates ran out, it could have really looked like a fizzling spark rather than something that warmed up our community for a long time. And I think it's tough to have a good idea and to say, I'm going to spend the whole year just thinking about this idea and making sure that it's right. But I think that foundation that we built together, that go slow part really, really made sure we could go much further. And it's something that's tough. And coming from a background of, you know, doing more scrappy grassroots activism and community organizing, especially, like, wow, we're really taking our time with this. And I learned so much in that first year that I still carry with me today, you know, 11 years later. But I think that was the biggest thing. It was we made a foundation that still persists. And that bringing all those different perspectives and skills bases on community organizing brought us to something that's incredibly resilient. After some time away from the board, I recently rejoined the board just a couple of years ago. And I didn't have to get I had to familiarize myself with all the new programs, all the new documents that were created, all the terms of reference. But also when I stepped back into that board after years away, it still was like, oh yeah, this is definitely the organization that I recognize. Like that foundation was still deeply apparent, even after multiple executive directors, multiple boards, and an enormous growth in our membership, that foundation is still incredibly apparent. And you can see that when it comes in. And many of those initial partner organizations are still there. A lot of those relationships that were built in year one and year two are still present. And that continuity and consistency, you know, you can't put a price on that. We live on in our communities through the relationships we hold in them. And if you make sure those are good, you're going to go long forever.
Fantastic. And I love that. The way you describe the process of setting your mission and vision, and taking the time to really like make sure that you were articulating this in a way that would carry forward beyond that initial group. That's really fantastic. It does lay that foundation, like you mentioned. We should probably get to wrap it up here, but I did want to congratulate you on the 10 years. I mean, that's great. That's a great marker. So congratulations. And I am curious to hear, what do you ride?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really great question. So over the course of my life, I've ridden a lot of bikes. Backroads touring is really what sparks my fire. New Brunswick has a lot of back roads. You've got a lot of ATV trails and long roads. And as I get a little bit older, my mountain biking and road biking have fallen off a little bit. I like the quiet of the back roads and the gravel. So I do a lot of gravel biking, but my daily is a single speed Surly steamroller. And it was gifted to me by a friend. It was a part of his estate after he passed. It was somebody who did more work than I can ever imagine bringing cycling culture in here. He was a mechanic who I love deeply, Richard Donovan. And so I ride his old bike every day, and it was a thing that his sister offered to me after he passed. And that's my everyday one. And it was built by him to ride in the streets in downtown Moncton. And so when I commute, when I go get groceries, when I visit my friends by bike, I try to make sure that I'm riding it all the time because it was built here for here. I love to ride it here.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. That sounds like a really fun way to get around Moncton.
It's a hoot. I mean, we're lucky that the city's quite flat, so a single speed is a viable one here. Low in the maintenance, high in the fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Corey. Really appreciate you sharing the story of La Bikerie, and we'll look forward to sharing this with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me on here, Robin. It was a real treat.
All right.
That was our interview with Corey Herc from the board of directors of La Bikerie, a community bicycle center in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. If you would like to learn more about La Bikerie Co-op, you can check out their website at www.labikerie.ca. Labikerie.ca.
And that's it for us here on this edition of Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. I'm your host, Robin Puga, and my special thanks to Sandy Goldman, producer. Thank you for listening on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM in Vancouver, and Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY 93.5 FM in Nelson, British Columbia. Tune in next week for more updates and news from the co-op and social economy sectors.
Who owns your radio?
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 You do.
Vancouver Co-op Radio.
100.5 FM.
CFRO. The People's Radio Station.
Give me that.
It's mine.
I want it.
No, it's mine.
No, give it to me.
You have to give it back.
Stop. Instead of fighting, try working together. Honestly, openly, in a spirit of caring for others. And tune in to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on CFRO 100.5 FM, on your dial and online at cooperadio.org. Try cooperating. You'll feel better for it.